listening to CFAC 960 AM, Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Live from Calgary, Alberta, Canada. Owned and operated by Rogers Media. Also streaming at sportsnet.ca/960. Getting your afternoon started right now. It's Pat Steinberg on The Big Show. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Come with me now. Come with me now.
Come with me now.
It's one deep to left field on the first pitch from Duffy. There goes another one. 25 for Donaldson. Three home runs tonight. Navarro, Martin, and now Josh. And the Blue Jays lead the Royals 5-2.
And I think that we are safe to assume that after last night, the Blue Jays have won the David Price trade. Yeah, I think that it's very much cut and dried. No longer need to even have a discussion about it. In David Price's first game as a member of the Blue Jays, they beat the Kansas City Royals 5-2. Oh, David Price didn't play yesterday, and he's been delayed even getting to Toronto, and his introductory news conference has been delayed. Oh, okay. Well, then maybe not. I'll back off on that. All joking aside, the push to the playoffs for the Blue Jays has absolutely begun as we transition from Baseball Central to the Big Show on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. All eyes on the Blue Jays as they continue to make moves and they continue to upgrade their team, trying to push for a postseason spot for the first time since 1993.
They haven't even sniffed it.
They really haven't even sniffed it, Pat. The Blue Jays have acquired two players today ahead of the trade deadline, which is less than an hour away now. They first acquire right-handed reliever Mark Lowe from the Seattle Mariners for a bunch of minor leaguers, and they've also acquired outfielder Ben Revere from Philadelphia. So some pretty big moves, not as big as the other two. Obviously, David Price and Troy Tulowitzki are a little bit bigger than the two moves made today, but more significant moves made by the Blue Jays as well. There's no doubt about it. They are absolutely gearing up for a push. They are absolutely gearing up to make it. And whether you're a fan of the Blue Jays like I am, or whether you're just observing from afar, knowing they're the only Canadian team that plays the sport at the highest level, you have to appreciate what Alex Anthopoulos and the Blue Jays are doing right now.
Absolutely. And if you didn't believe that they were making this playoff push after the Tulowitzki deal, because it was kind of a deal they had their eyes on for some time, and Alex Anthopoulos said himself it's not a late July type of move, but clearly these three other moves that have made in the last 48 hours of David Price from the Detroit Tigers, and now the two trades today, Mark Lowe from Seattle and Ben Revere from Philadelphia, it's complete evidence that the Blue Jays really have all their chips in the middle of the table.
So the Blue Jays continue their series with the Kansas City Royals tonight. 5:07 first pitch, we'll have it for you here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan, joined in progress at 6 o'clock. Hey, happy Friday, and welcome to The Big Show. Another gorgeous day in downtown Calgary. Pat Steinberg and Will Nault along with you, kicking off your afternoon on the show today. We got some interesting stuff on the program today. Of course, Arash Madani stops by, as he always does, at 3:30. He's going to join us today to preview Week 6 in the Canadian Football League. And this is pretty cool, actually. The Montreal Alouettes are in town to take on the Stampeders tomorrow. And Alouettes head athletic therapist Rodney Sass, he's going to be in studio with us, and he's going to be talking about all things regarding injury prevention. So some interesting stuff that Rodney Sassy's doing, and I'm pretty interested in seeing what that conversation is going to be like in just a couple of hours. Tomorrow is Stampeders game day. The Stamps will try to bounce back from that overtime loss in Ottawa last weekend as they host the Montreal Alouettes. They'll also try to bounce back from that loss to the Owls earlier this season. Here is Calgary's Keon Raymond as Calgary gets set for kickoff tomorrow night.
Honestly, I think our last game, it was just against them, was a total probably lack of effort, you know what I mean? I think we weren't prepared to play. We weren't ready, you know what I mean? And you can see, even in the game, no matter who was playing quarterback, we had to come out and play better defensively, offensively, and special teams. We got wiped across the board in all three phases of the game, and we have to be better, you know what I mean? And I think Coach Huff and Stube and Dickey, and they iterated that to us, and we've taken the challenge. So we're going to come out, and we're going to be ready. Guys are putting the preparation in to make sure we come out ready to play.
You know what, Will? I'm not really sure what to think about tomorrow, to be honest with you, because we know the Stamps are going to be without John Cornish, and we know they're already beat up, and lots of other teams in the CFL are beat up, but this is a game where, you know, it's very much up in the air for me. And the last couple of weeks have kind of been that way for the Stampeders. And it's kind of new territory observing this team, at least new territory in the last few years, because they're no longer that team that is kind of pacing the pack. They're no longer that team that is ahead of the game. They're in the pack. And because you're in the pack, you kind of are more vulnerable to pick up a loss at any given weekend. I mean, look at BC. BC's looked really good all year long, but they've or better than we thought they were going to be, but they're not head and shoulders above anybody, and so they get beat by Winnipeg yesterday. And so I feel like Calgary is in that mix with the Bombers, with the Lions, with the Argos, I mean, probably the Eskimos and Montreal and Ottawa. Like, everybody's so jammed together. Whereas last year, you kind of went into every game, at least I did, Will, going into every game for the Stampeders, saying, you know what, they should probably win this game. If they play their game, if they execute the way they're capable of executing, they win the football game. This year, they can execute the way they're capable of executing, but I don't get the same feeling. Like, they shouldn't win every football game. They're not head and shoulders ahead of the pack like they were last year.
Yeah, absolutely. They're like you mentioned, in the pack right now, and they're not, you know, cut and dry the last couple of years. You could just look at the game on paper and say, the Stampeders will likely win this one by a touchdown or maybe 10 points. I don't think they're at the point anymore where you can just look on paper and say that the Stampeders are the clear cut and dry, you know, favorite in every single game. They're not necessarily, you know, they're favorite most games, but they're not going to be heavily favored in every single one of their games like they has the last couple of years.
Well,
and you're right.
But are they? Like, are they favorites tomorrow?
I don't know.
I mean, I guess they probably are because they're at home.
Yeah, they haven't lost at home yet.
Otherwise, I mean, I don't know if you can say that they're clear-cut
favorites.
Well,
what are the Alouettes
right
now, though? Right? I mean, they're also a team in transition, too. I mean, they're finally look like they have a guy that they can maybe build around now at quarterback for the near future. But, you know, outside of that, I mean, what are the Alouettes right now, too?
I mean, they're kind of where the Stampeders are.
Right.
They're in that group where, you know, we asked what are the Hamilton Tiger Cats? What are the Montreal Alouettes? What are the Winnipeg Blue Bombers?
The only team that right now looks like it's, you know, kind of a clear cut, a team that looks like they're bound for the playoffs and look like one of the top teams in the CFL is the Eskimos.
And even then, their quarterback got pulled last week. So
they have quarterback troubles.
Yeah. I mean, luckily their defensive group is so dominant, at least it has been
Mike
the last
Riley
three games.
Mike Riley can't stay healthy.
Riley's out for the foreseeable future. Like, the next 5, 6, 7 weeks, he's gone. Nichols gets pulled. It was Franklin who came in and finished the game last week. And, you know, Nichols couldn't do anything. So James Franklin comes in. He throws for 3 touchdowns. So, yeah, I mean, everybody seems to be far closer to the pack this year, at least early on. Whereas even through 5, 6 games last year, the Stampeders were head and shoulders above everybody. So I do expect them to separate a little bit as the year goes along. But I'm fairly certain, like, I can't really see a time this year where the Stamps really truly become the clear-cut, no-questions-asked best team in the CFL. I think they're going to have more competition for it this year. Argos are better, Eskimos are just as good, and they've probably taken a step forward. And the Stampeders, they've lost some bodies, they've got their injuries right now. So I don't think that they're even after Labor Day. I think they'll be better. I think they'll be much better. I think they'll be one of the upper echelon teams, but I don't think that we're going to be talking about them as the clear-cut Grey Cup favorites the way we were the last 2 years.
Well, I think they're going to really struggle too, Pat, for the 12-13 win mark. I'm not sure that they're going to be able to get there. I see this team losing more than 5 games this year. I don't know about you.
And the good news is, and I kind of am with you. If they were to go 12-6, I think that's probably a fair record. I mean, obviously that's not what they would like, but 12-6, the way things have gone and the way things are projecting, yeah, that seems like a pretty fair record. And, you know, will that win them the division? I mean, potentially, but probably not.
Likely no crossover this year.
It doesn't look like it. The East Division looks significantly better than they did last year. So, no, it doesn't look like there's a crossover. And I guess the one good news item, I guess it's a good news item, depending on who you talk to. I guess there's one team also not in the pack right now, and that's Saskatchewan. But even still, at 0-5, you know, depending on what happens, I mean, they're 2 games back of the BC Lions right now.
Right.
So, you know, the situation isn't completely and utterly dire for Saskatchewan either. Even though I don't see them making the playoffs, you're still not done. So the pack is so jammed up, and even the two first-place teams are just 3-1 in both Edmonton and Toronto. So kickoff tomorrow, 5 o'clock from McMahon Stadium, Calgary Stampeders and the Montreal Alouettes. Alouettes beat the Stampeders earlier this year in Rakeem Cato's debut game. He lit the Stampeders up, and we'll see what Cato, the player of the month, or one of the players of the month for July, what he does.
Kind of weird to name three, by the way.
Yeah, so what?
Name one.
Did they just name, did they name like three players, three stars? They named players? I didn't really pay attention.
Yeah, like you'd think if it was three, maybe it'd be like one from defense, one from offense. Yeah,
but it was like three teams. Offensive guys or something,
yeah,
wasn't it?
Yeah, it was defensive end Howard out of Edmonton and two quarterbacks.
Yeah. So it's three stars of the month and instead of the players. But then they do, for players of the week, don't they do, they've changed it to three players of the week? Why? I liked it. This way it was like defensive, special teams.
There's no top Canadian anymore.
I like that much better than three players being named. Anyway. Kickoff tomorrow, 5 o'clock, McMahon Stadium. I want to talk some Flames as we continue on this Friday big show. And it's something that Robbie and I talked about very, very briefly yesterday. And I think it really is worthy of more discussion, Will. And I want to kind of get into the conversation now. I put an article up this morning on flamesnation.ca. And there's been a lot of things done this summer that just make perfect sense for the Flames. I mean, the Dougie Hamilton acquisition, the Michael Frolik signing, I think we can all see how they make sense. I think the re-signings and you know, Lance Bowman's contract, Josh Juris, Paul Byron, the contracts that have been signed, all the other RFAs that were taken care of, yeah, of course, those make sense. This one thing, and it's not even, I'm not even saying it doesn't make sense from a critical standpoint, I just wonder if the Flames think about things the same way I do. I just wonder whether or not they're looking at this guy as a priority or what. But I'm kind of at the point where I'm like, why haven't they re-signed David Schlemko? What right now would be the holdup to that happening? I know he's not a restricted free agent. I know that he is unrestricted and could sign anywhere. But here we are on the final day of July, and he has yet to sign. So we are 30 days into free agency, and Schlemko, among many others, I mean, Cody Franson and Curtis Glencross and Christian Ehrhoff and other names are still out there in free agency too. But this one, I guess, Will, for me, it just seemed like a no-brainer because there were so many things that would point to, oh, yeah, you just bring him back because he was good in his role. He is cheap, and what I say by cheap, I mean he's going to be, what, $1 million over 1 year, so a short-term, very affordable deal. We know how important defensive depth is, and I think that we saw that they were forced to play with Corey Potter and Ty Weatherspoon playing minutes in the playoffs last year, and that's not something that you really want to do going that far onto your depth chart. And I guess, so the two things that make me most passionate, it's not even the right word, but maybe adamant that I think this is a good move, is first of all, he was really good for him in his role last year. As a 5-6-7 defenseman, he was really, really strong. He was a good skater. He moved the puck well. He was smart defensively. He spent the majority of the ice on the right side of it. Sorry, the majority of his time on the right side of the ice. I liked what he did on the ice. And then number two, the thing that really jumps off the page to me, what do you have to lose? So maybe my read on Schlemko is just awful. He's no good, and he's not even worthy of being on the team next year. And Ty Weatherspoon or Ryan Culkin or Kenny Morrison or Jakob Nakladal or whoever surpasses him on the depth chart, well, then you put him on waivers. You didn't trade for him. You didn't draft him. You claimed him on waivers. You lose no sleep by putting him on waivers. The worst that happens is you put a guy in the American League on NHL money for a year. Like, I don't really see any downside to signing Schlemko.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing right now, Pat, I think you have a better indication than I do, but maybe the one thing that to me that just jumps out immediately is the cap situation. Are the Flames really that strapped for cash right now? They don't want to. I know a one-year deal is not a lot of risk and all that, but I'm not even sure that they have enough money to sign Schlemko right now. Are they comfortable with doing that?
Oh, I mean, cap issues right now. They don't really have any cap issues right now.
And what is the cap next season?
71 or something like that.
Right, and they're already over $70 million. With Ferland still to sign.
They've got $2 million in cap space, and they're going to be able to make. I still think they're going to make moves to move salary out up front. So I don't really worry about their cap situation. And again, it's going to be a 1 year deal. They got about $2.1 million. So I think it's actually $73 million. So they got $2.1 million in salary.
Yeah, they spent 70.3. So.
Yeah, and their cap hit is 69.2. So they have just over $2 million in cap space. I do think there's going to be some moves in trades, whether it be Mason Raymond, whether it be Brandon Bolig, whether it be Joe Colburn, whether it be somebody we're not even in Matt Stage. I'm not even saying these guys are they have to move these guys out. I just think they're going to make a move or two, not necessarily before October, but I think before 2016, they make a move or two up front so they can fit some other things in.
Sure.
And I mean, Ladislav Schmid's probably LTIR to start the year. Don't know that for sure, but I think that's a fair guess. I don't think they have very many cap issues right now. Long term, and looking towards 2016-17 and beyond, yeah, that's when they have cap things that they really need to figure out. I don't really, a one-year contract, I think, is just fine for Schlemko, though.
Yeah, and I think the biggest thing, too, like you mentioned, I mean, the defensive depth is nice, and this is a guy that knows the system, knows the organization, and like you said, I mean, if worst comes to worst, like worst-case scenario, it doesn't work out, all you have to do is place the guy on waivers again, and then you could probably afford to pay that contract in the American League.
Yeah. And so we'll see. I mean, I don't know. I think that it would make sense. I think that he would add to your depth. I think you'd rather have, at this point, you'd rather have Schlemko there as an insurance policy than have to force a Nakladal or a Wotherspoon
right.
or a Culkin into a spot where maybe they're not ready. If they prove in training camp into the preseason or early into the regular season that they're sure. ahead of Schlemko, well then yeah, you put Schlemko on waivers, you see if he gets claimed. I think there's a decent chance he would get claimed because everybody needs defensive depth, especially once the season starts. And if he doesn't get claimed, you send him to the American Hockey League and he's on an affordable salary, so it's not completely prohibitive to pay him down there. So I don't really have a ton of it. You can basically bury his entire salary too. Like if you sign him to $1 million deal, which I think 1 year, $1 million, that sure. in and around that range, that is sensible, I think. Well, you're burying 90% of that contract in the American League too, if you have to go that road. I don't think you do. I think Schlemko's a step up on guys that are on their roster right now. I think he's better than Engelund. I think he's better than Schmid specifically mm-hmm. in that role. So For me, it really is a no-brainer.
And the one thing that that you said there kind of jumped out to me that maybe, I don't know, I'm just kind of spitballing here, but maybe the organization feels like a guy like Nakladal is going to be able to fill that role of seventh defenseman.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe they feel like he can do it and they have a guy already there, so they're not going to go waste a contract on Schlemko. I'm not sure, but that just maybe something that just came up right now that I think maybe is a possibility for the Flames.
I think they're at 46, 47 contracts for
okay.
this coming year. So they have room in terms of that cap.
Right.
And I don't worry about the salary situation. Again, it's a one-year deal with LTIR for Schmid. If that happens with a couple of moves up front in terms of trades and stuff like that, I think they'll be able to get around their salary cap situation easily. It is somewhat interesting, though, how much salary space they had in March going into the trade deadline. And how that has dissipated in a very short period of time now that we're heading up towards August. Because Frolik's 4.3 adds to it. Backlund's raise adds to it, of course. Brody's raise coming onto the cap adds to it. You have a slight raise for a guy like Paul Byron. Sam Bennett's money comes onto the
cap. Lance Boma.
Lance Boma gets himself
Dougie
a
Hamilton.
Nice raise. Then you have Dougie Hamilton's big raise, too. So, I mean, all of a sudden, and then Kari Ramo gets a little bit of a bump up. So
how
all
nice
of a sudden,
does Brody's contract look now, eh?
It looked great at the time, and it continues to be. I think right now, Mark Giordano's contract is the best value contract on the team, but it's got 1 year left on it. So once Gio signs his new deal, and once he becomes the highest paid player on the team, then yeah, for me, Brody's contract's the best value contract on the team. It's not even close for me. Like he's a really, really good cap hit right now. It's going to continue to be a good cap hit. Yeah, 4.675 or whatever it is.
4.65.
4.65, yeah. So yeah, it's going to continue to be
That's
a really,
unbelievable.
Really good cap
unbelievable.
Hit.
That's one of those ones there where you kind of, we talked so much the last couple of weeks about bridge deals and how, we're kind of seeing the end of bridge deals maybe for teams, and they feel that they can get more value out of signing a guy long term out of his entry level deal. It's kind of one of those ones where, you're looking 3-4 years down the road and Brody's going to be worth tremendous value.
And here's my final reason why you sign David Schlemko, because Peter Laborteus loses his shite whenever he does this.
Wouldn't this be something? Schlemko weaves his way into the Bruins zone. Schlemko speeds up, goes to the backhand. He scores!
Are you kidding me?
Wow, what a goal by David Schlemko! Roll the highlight reel. He ends the shootout in round number 8. The final score here at TD Garden in Boston, the Flames 4, the Bruins 3.
Let's try one more time.
Goes to the backhand. He scores!
Are you kidding me?
Wow!
How can you not re-sign him after that?
And it allows, I don't know if you've heard this, Pat.
Are you kidding me?
What?
It allows the morning show to do stuff like this.
Do the Schlem Cat. That's the name of this song. Do the Schlem Cat. Take a little lesson and you can't go wrong. Do the Schlem Cat. That's the way we like. Do the Schlem Cat.
5, wow.
It's good.
It does allow them to do that. And if it happens, that continues to be a relevant song. Otherwise, you can only play it whenever Schlemko plays against the Flames with his new team.
It's true. And you can't make, you know, more creative music with his name.
Exactly.
They call Weidman the Wide Dog.
Wide Dog. Schlemcat.
Schlemcat. Yeah. Well, it just wouldn't work as well, right?
Okay. So let's move on from that. I think it's a I think that I've made myself pretty clear as to the way I feel about it. I'll read some text on it in a couple seconds. Schlemko, in terms of guys that were with the team last year and who haven't re-signed, like Ferland, Schlemko, Potter, I guess you count Setoguchi.
Did Potter ever get a new contract with anybody?
No, he remains an unrestricted free agent.
Okay.
He, to me, enters at the age of 31. He probably enters, what's it called? PTO category. He probably is a tryout guy in training camp. I'd be somewhat surprised if he gets a contract here at any time in the near future. Before we wrap up this segment, before we get to some of your texts, want to get to the UFC wrap because UFC 190 goes tomorrow from Sao Paulo, Brazil, and a pretty stacked card. Depending on what your day is like tomorrow, I would very much encourage you to go check out your local establishment that is airing the Ultimate Fighting Championship because it's actually a really good card. I mean, the main event is going to draw. The main event is a big deal. Whenever you have Ronda Rousey
she's gonna
on the
lose.
Card. Really?
No, I'm just kidding.
That would be, that would be, no.
She's never going to lose.
Go on record. Nobody considers you a UFC expert. It's not like.
Yeah, fine. I'm calling it.
Go on record. Just do it.
I'm calling it. She's going to lose.
And then we can record that. And when I'm not here on Monday, we won't talk about it. But you can, at the very least, like send it to me. And then I'll be like, oh yeah, look, Will's smarter than I and than everybody else. So say it one more time very clearly.
Ronda Rousey will lose at UFC 190 tomorrow night.
Okay. I don't think that's going to happen, but
No knowledge. So
I know exactly. It's great. That's why I like it. It's kind of like every year when the Flames play Anaheim
right.
until they
you
beat
just
them,
call it. So then,
this is the night yeah. the Flames are beating the Anaheim Ducks. I'm going, and eventually I could go 0-20. Eventually, I'm going to be right. They're going to win in Anaheim one day,
and that clip will be played thousands of times.
I'm going to make myself the smartest person in the world.
Absolutely.
This main event between Ronda Rousey and Brazil's, now it's spelled Bethy Correa. That is not how you pronounce her name. The best I can do, and this is how Mike Goldberg, the lead commentator of the UFC, says it. A lot of people, Beche Correa is the best I can do. I'm not even sure that's 100% correct, but she's Brazilian. She's going to be the hometown favorite. Ronda Rousey's the superstar. Ronda Rousey's the crossover appeal, massive draw, and they go head-to-head for the women's bantamweight title in the main event tomorrow. Once again, it's from Sao Paulo, and Correa is Brazilian, so there's going to be some very interesting crowd splits because Ronda Rousey is Ronda Rousey, and Correa is the hometown favorite. These two do not like each other. Ronda Rousey says she wants to... Usually her fights are over in 16, 28 seconds, whatever it is. I mean, we all remember her different fights, whether it be finished by armbar, whether it be finished by takeover and punches to the face, whatever. Ronda Rousey wins quickly. But there's a rivalry here, and Rousey's been very, very vocal about how much she does not like Correa and vice versa. And my favorite... piece of smack talk leading up to this main event is that she says, hey, look, I want to extend this fight. I want to go as long as possible so I can rearrange your face, to paraphrase. So this is going to be a very highly anticipated main
event.
Didn't
she say something like she wants to embarrass her in front of her home fans?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And look, Ronda's a superstar. She knows how to promote herself, and she's doing a very, very good job of it. I mean, there's a reason. Part of the reason why she's turned into the international superstar that she is because of what she does in the octagon. But the other reason that she's turned into the superstar that she is because she knows how to sell herself. She knows how to make herself a brand. Conor McGregor is a very, very good example on the other side. You know, Chael Sonnen was a good example of it. I think John Jones, before he went complete idiot and found himself in legal hot water, John Jones, I think, was a decent guy doing that, too. Looking forward to this card. There's no doubt about it. Also, too, like there's some pretty interesting fights on it. Both Nogs are fighting. Little Nog, so that's Antonio Rogério Nogueira, is taking on Mauricio Shogun Rua. That's a light heavyweight battle and two Brazilian legends. So that might be, in a lot of ways, for people in Brazil and for hardcore people in that country of the sport, and there's a lot of them, that might be your main event. You got, you know, arguably one of the 2-3 best guys to ever come from your country in Shogun, and a guy who's probably top 6 or 7 too in Little Nog. They go head to head at light heavyweight, then at heavyweight, Big Nog, Antonio Rodrigo Nogueira. He takes on Stefan Struve. So looking forward to UFC 190 tomorrow from Brazil. And don't forget, news is all but confirmed. UFC hasn't officially announced it yet, but UFC 194 in Calgary, December 5th. Is what we understand as the promotion returns to the Scotiabank Saddledome. Bleacher Report first had it. Robbie Lawler and Carlos Condit for the welterweight title on December 5th. All right, a couple of texts as we wrap up the segment at 960-960. We talked a lot about a number of different things. First, on the Blue Jays. Patty, I'm not a Jays fan, but Alex is loading up and it's fun to watch. What are the repercussions if they don't make the playoffs? Will, what do you think? Is Anthopoulos canned if they miss?
Oh, man, that's so hard because
I don't think he should be, but will he be?
At the end of the day, there's only one thing that's important, right? And it's winning. And, you know, he's done wonderful things as Blue Jays general manager, but they necessarily haven't won while he's been at the helm. So at the end of the day, it's about winning, and he hasn't been able to do that as Blue Jays general manager. So the biggest thing, too, is with a new president coming in, if they don't make the playoffs and that president sees, you know, this team hasn't made the playoffs under Anthopoulos, then yeah, I think he could be in danger. But yeah, I mean, he's certainly managing like his job's on the line, that's for sure.
What about John Gibbons? If Anthopoulos gives, so in the last week, four players have been added to the team with what, one player coming off the active roster?
Yeah.
Tulowitzki comes in, then David Price comes in, and then today two more in Lowe and Revere. So four players added. Absolutely they're looking to bulk up, and absolutely they're looking to make a playoff push. If Anthopoulos gives Gibbons all that he has and they don't make the playoffs, does the finger get pointed more at Gibbons than it does in Anthopoulos?
I mean, yeah, probably. And I, at the end of the day, I also think that if one goes, they both go.
Okay, so you think they might be tied together?
Yeah, I think so. And I think if Anthopoulos stays, he has enough belief in Gibbons. He's the one that brought him back for a second time in Toronto. So I think that if Anthopoulos stays on staff, then he'll keep John Gibbons, and we'll see. I think they're a package deal in that sense, but we'll have to see.
Blue Jays have made another trade in the last couple of minutes. They've traded gentleman who started 2 days ago and then got optioned or designated for assignment, and now he's no longer in the organization. Felix DuBrant has gone from the Blue Jays to Oakland for cash considerations. That just coming down here in the
last
couple of minutes as well.
That, of course, probably because they have to make some more room on that lineup, although he was designated for assignment.
Yeah.
But
He was DFA'd for Tulowitzki.
Yeah.
And then Price comes in. And
Devin Travis is put on the DL for David Price. So there's going to be a couple more moves to happen just to get, you know, Revere and low on the active roster. I would imagine they'll probably DFA a couple of guys in the bullpen to make room for those two guys. But again, you have to remember just the month of August, they have to worry about rosters because in September there is no roster limit.
AA should probably be fired if they don't make the playoffs. That being said, they're going to make the playoffs. All right. I feel all the vibe around the Blue Jays lately, but I can only wonder one thing. Why? I mean, everybody knows it's baseball, right? Hashtag baseball sucks. Okay, so not a baseball fan. You two guys sound way, way off. Stamps will not lose 6, maybe 4. Starting tomorrow, Stamps will be dominant in the league.
Easy.
I don't know how you can say that.
You're losing two starting offensive linemen. You've lost a lot of depth.
You've lost the best player in the
CFL. Watching that offense for 5 weeks, I don't know how you can comfortably sit there and
say
that.
What about watching
that
defense for 5 weeks?
Exactly.
Like nothing has looked dominant from the Stampeders. Why all of a sudden are they just going to snap a finger and be bad? I'm not saying that they're bad. I'm just saying they're not the head and shoulders
best
team in the CFL anymore.
Kind of the reputation thing that Peter Klein mentioned last week, right?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. That would probably be it more than anything else. Couple of other texts on the Flames, 960-960. I would sign Schlemko too. He isn't Geo or anything like that, but I felt he played solid hockey and he at least deserves another contract. Can they put Smead on LTI and save too? Yeah, if Smead isn't ready to start the year, then he probably goes on LTIR and that gives you some cap credit.
How much does that give you?
Well, it gives you, it doesn't, it's very complicated. What it does, it gives you cap credit. So if his contract, I think he's over $3 million. So if he's at 3.5, he's at 3.5. So basically what you get is $3.5 million in cap credit. It doesn't really, it's not like you get added cap space, but they credit it to you for the time that he's not there. So you'd be able to add for the time that he's not there. Once he comes back off of LTIR, you no longer have that cap credit. So
you have to be careful.
Exactly. But you know, I think there's a decent chance that Smead goes to LTIR once the season starts. Trade Weidman, trade Russell, trade Hiller, trade Raymond, sign Monahan. Who's Raymond? Trade Raymond, sign Monahan, sign Gaudreau, sign Geo to 3 years, $24 million, and if possible, sign Ramo to 2 or 3 years contract. Run a Ramo or Teo tandem in net. As for the defense core, run with Hamilton, Geo, Brody, Engel, and Schlemko in a youth movement. Trade Geo at the last year of that 3 year contract you just signed and give the captaincy to Monahan. There's a long
term.
So
why do we have Brad Tree Living, or why do the Flames have Brad Tree Living if this guy's there?
Hey,
just hire him.
We're supposed to have opinions.
He's got the answers.
I was just
saying that because it was so much in one text, but
I know.
It all made sense, though.
My guess is the team's waiting to see who shows up and impresses in training camp. If no one does, they'll sign Schlemko. My only worry would be, and I'm not losing sleep over it, but my only worry would be that Schlemko isn't there. I do think he'll get signed before the season starts. And Pat, the Flames haven't even sniffed Schlemko, but he doesn't want to leave. So apparently that's turned into a thing, too. Yeah. Well done. They haven't even sniffed it. The first text that came in today, it's Friday of a long weekend. Can we please hear a new Steinberg clip with Espo? He doesn't want to leave. So there you go. Well, you got.
They haven't even sniffed it.
Talking about that one?
I don't know if that's...
Or this one.
What's up, Pat?
those are both really good. Or is it my scream? I don't know.
That's a good question.
It's not that. That's not me.
Are you sure?
No, I'm pretty sure that's Dustin Brown during the Stanley Cup final last year.
Oh, man. Remember when we caught that? We just played it on loop off the air, and we just were howling.
It was the most ridiculous sound. Like, you know, I say, but that's the most ridiculous
yeah,
sound ever.
And the thing is, like, this was mid-sentence. Like, okay.
Do you have the scream there, or is it not part of the hot keys yet?
I don't have it handy.
Okay. Well, then don't worry about it. It's not. I don't really want to hear it myself. Okay, let's take a break. He's Will. I'm Pat. This is the big show on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Hey, it's Friday. What do we have on the best of the best coming your way next?
Pretty much a lot of Blue Jays and a lot of impressive debuts. Some interesting stuff from baseball, some crying. Just kind of a lot of baseball.
All right. Well, that's coming your way as we go through the best sound bites of the week around the corner. Big Show continues next here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Sports is really important to you. It's all we do all the time. Proud to serve the best fans in Canada. Sportsnet 960 The Fan. The best quotes, the top highlights, and anything else that you need to hear. This is the best of the best on the Big Show. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Yeah, here we are at the end of the week. We're going into a long weekend. For me, I'm going into a really long weekend because I get the next week off. So I'm really happy about today being Friday. What a rough stretch of work I've had the last month, eh, Will?
Again, you're a school teacher.
2 weeks off, back for a week. Off for a week, back for 2 weeks, off for a week. I'll take it.
Another time to burn it, though.
And then comes September, I'll work 85 hours a week. So it all evens out in the end.
Well, no time to burn it. So so got to do it now.
Exactly. Yeah, I get 4 days to take holiday in January, and then otherwise it's you're pinned to your chair and you don't leave the city of Calgary.
You have a all-star break trip plan this year?
Not yet, but I probably will go somewhere. I went to Vegas last year. It was perfect. Like, you just go. It's warm. It's not too warm. It's like it was 20 degrees the entire time. Pools were open.
They were, hey?
Yeah. We were at Bellagio because I'm a high roller and all, or maybe because they had a ridiculous deal on Expedia. But, yeah, I went to Bellagio, and the pools were open, or the pool was open, and it was perfect. It was exactly the trip that I needed. Just get away from everything. The best part is the Flames go elsewhere. I think they stayed in L.A. So don't worry about like running into media guys that you might know or Flames players. It's like you're just completely disconnected from everything. It was perfect. Anyways, week is coming to an end. That was a long roundabout way of getting to Will, who has the best sound bites of the week that was.
We'll start with, I guess, the biggest news of the week, which was the Toronto Blue Jays. They've been all over headlines, and including today, just prior to the trade deadline, they're making a couple more minor moves to try and load up their offense. They believe they can catch the Yankees, and with 13 games against said Yankees, I think they got a pretty good shot. But Troy Tulowitzki did his best in Toronto on Wednesday night in his Blue Jay debut. First, this was his very first at-bat as a member of the Blue Jays.
For Troy Tulowitzki, they're on their feet, a standing ovation at the Rogers Center. Pretty special.
What's the one guy doing? What's that one noise the guy's making? What is he doing?
Is he saying Tulo?
Is that what he's saying?
I don't know.
That might be it. Maybe.
It's the only thing I could logically think of.
Otherwise, he's an owl. Like he's
so,
like,
yeah. I mean, it's kind of weird, but anyways, he gets a standing ovation. Nice touch from the fans for his very first at-bat. He said it made him nervous, and as a result, he did strike out in his very first at-bat, but just two innings later, in his second at-bat, he made up for it.
And the strike two pitch. Fly ball deep left center field. Yes, sir, Troy Tulowitzki is a Blue Jay.
Not bad for a debut, hey? Oh. I mean, The most hyped up trade you've made in a couple of years, the biggest shock trade in Major League Baseball all year, and you debut with a 3-for-5 outing, you hit a home run, 3 RBIs, a pretty good debut in a Blue Jays jersey for Troy Tulowitzki. I guess he didn't hate coming to Toronto as much as people said he did after all, eh?
Yeah, no doubt. Second Blue Jay in franchise history to have 3 multi-base hits in his debut. Or, sorry, extra base hits, I should say.
Yeah.
3 of them in his debut. Can you guess who the other one is? It's very elite company.
Okay, so say it one more time.
It's the second player in franchise history to have 3 extra base hits in his debut.
Can you give me the year?
It was very recent, in the 2000s.
Whew, in his debut, hey?
The career was a big letdown.
Career was a big letdown?
Yeah. He's shocked if you can name the team he's on currently.
Trying to think of a player who's been acquired.
Played catcher. He was drafted by the Blue Jays. Didn't have a first name. He had initials.
Oh, J.P. Arencibia?
Yeah.
He's the other guy, hey?
He's the other guy.
Really?
So very elite company.
I was thinking, catcher. Like, and then as soon as you said the initials, that was, you know what? That was good hint giving. Like, you went hard, and then eventually you made me, like, the easy one for the dolt to get it. So, no, that was good.
But hopefully his career doesn't end up the same in Toronto. But nonetheless, a very impressive debut for Tulowitzki, and looks to be a good trade right now. Again, just 3 days in, but
no, they've already won both the Tulowitzki and the Price deals.
Well, Reyes hit a base hit his first at bat, so Colorado had the edge early.
They did have the edge early. You're right. But now they're 2-0 with Tulowitzki in the lineup, and they're 1-0 since making the David Price deal. Even though I don't even think he's in Toronto yet.
No, he's still trying to find his tire.
Yeah, he got a flat tire and
blew up. Posted
a picture of his car. I'm not sure. Was that like a Nissan Skyline?
Yeah, I was trying to
figure
out what kind of car it was.
I think it was a Nissan Skyline, but I'm not totally sure.
It was damn nice, though.
It was all tinted out with custom rims and Funny enough, a Major League Baseball making millions of dollars a year has a nice car. But he's yet to arrive in Toronto. But yes, Tulowitzki had himself a very good debut a couple of nights ago.
And here's John Gibbons after the game.
We'll say, hey, some guys do things with style, you know. And, yeah, I don't think it could have gone any better, really. I mean, nice play defensively early, and then, of course, two doubles and a home run. Some guys have that knack.
And R.A. Dickey, after the game in his scrum, said that he seemed better. Couldn't find the audio, but he's seen better debuts. He was obviously kidding, but...
Yeah, I've seen better.
It's not that good. I've seen better, but... yeah, so that's...
Do they call R.A. Dickey dad yet? He, like, when... I didn't realize, like, I guess... Or is it LaTroy Hawkins' dad? I forgot. Like, LaTroy Hawkins is, what, 42?
They call Burley Papa Burley.
How old is Dickey?
Dickey's in his high 30s. I want to say 38. As I quickly Google on our very fast internet.
Oh, it's so fast today. So fast.
Give me some time.
Once we get to commercial break, you'll have the...
Yeah, when we come back from break. University, or the Big Ten Conference in the NCAA had their news conference, as they usually do. Every head coach from every team in the Big Ten goes and talks about their offseason, their recruiting, what they're expecting for
next
season.
He's 40, by the way.
Oh, R.A. Dickey's 40?
Yeah.
Okay. So he's the second oldest on the team behind LaTroy Hawkins. But anyways, he's the head coach of the University of Illinois football team. His name is Tim Beckham. And here's his opening statement at the news conference, Pat. And when it's done, I'll ask you if you had any idea what the hell this guy's talking about.
Okay.
Before I get started, I would like to express something that I want to make sure that everybody understands about our program. We use the word OSCE not just because of the word OSCE or that it's a battle cry of the University of Illinois, but it also stands for something. That stance that we use that word for is our success equals the knowledge of being, the K, the knowledge of being a great student athlete on and off the football field, understanding how to be supportive, how to understand to be successful in the classroom. The E stands for effort, giving all out effort in everything you do each and every day. And then the last E stands for energy. Energy, being a positive influence on the people around you, having that belief and that system of as being a teammate, being a brother, the band of brothers. So we're really, really excited about the future of this program. These young men have been working since September to make sure that the Fighting Illini are getting better and better each and every year.
What?
What just happened? That's one of the greatest nonsensical diatribes I've ever heard.
The description on the I found it on Deadspin, and the description was, it's like listening to one of your friends try to explain a complicated math problem. Like, what did you just
say?
But
he was going from football to our stance.
Stance
and then,
for the K, you know, the K in knowledge.
And then next thing you know, he's talking about student athletes and energy. Like, what is happening?
Understands about our program. We use the word OSCE not just because of the word OSCE or that it's a battle cry of the University of Illinois, but it also stands for something. That stance that we use that word for is our success equals the knowledge
what?
Of right being here, like, the K, what? The knowledge being of the being K. A of
think,
being
I
the K, the knowledge
you,
of being a great student athlete.
Okay, I think if you actually listen to it about five times, I think so. He's saying OSCE,
right? That's their mascot.
So it's O S K E E. So it's O S.
Yeah, it's an acronym.
For OS stands for our success.
Yeah,
equals knowledge,
energy, and
energy
effort.
And
or
effort
and energy. Okay, man.
That text just comes in. You'll like this. That coach sounded like Jose on overtime. My boy Jose just got torn apart. That's funny. Jose's
of
one
being,
of,
the K, the knowledge.
Jose's one of our regulars on overtime, and he has a tendency to go into long-drawn conversations.
That's a very good text.
Wow.
That text wins the day.
That does win the day. Okay, what else we got on the best of the best?
This one.
Nice curveball. Throws hard. And a nice big hand for Wilmer Flores as he comes to bat. Most of these fans know that Wilmer's about to get traded. And social media being such these days, everybody knows what the situation is. It's a little odd that Wilmer's still in the game. But the fans giving him a nice send-off here. Ground to a run at the shortstop, Amarista. And Flores retired, two out.
Grounds out. It's another ovation.
And it was all much ado about nothing.
Walks the dugout with tears, and Pat, he wasn't even traded.
Nope. Much ado about nothing. I was like, why did we give this guy a standing ovation? He's playing today now. What's happening right now? Why did we give this guy a standing ovation yesterday?
Yeah. Come on, guys.
That was one of the most bizarre
things. One of those weird things that were, you know, a trade was pretty much all but done. We had very, you know, plugged in guys in Major League Baseball, like Ken Rosenthal, tweeting that, you know, he's had sources on both sides of the trade say it's done deal. And then about an hour later, yeah, and it's not a done deal. Sorry, guys.
Definitely not a done deal.
And Chris Gomez, who was going to be a member of the Mets, is now the center fielder in Houston.
Yes. So, yeah.
Not even the New York Met. And to wrap things up, and best of the best today, just figured out we'd go with some of the best sound bites of recent memory.
What's up, Pat?
They haven't even sniffed it.
Hey, Pat, off. Bring back Rob. You
do the Schlem Cat. The name of this song.
Not even our show.
Do the Schlem Cat.
Like the Schlem Cat.
And you still don't have the Stampede scream.
We're not doing a countdown.
Oh, there it is.
You still got me!
Okay. That's enough.
It's never enough.
That,
exactly.
That coach from Illinois sounds like Harry Carey. That guy, the coach, puts together sentences like the Rough Riders put together wins.
Of being the K, the knowledge.
That's like totally disjointed and all
being
over the
place. Being the K, the knowledge.
Oh, it's not proper English.
Of being the K, the knowledge.
No, I don't. Okay, sir. OSCE again. What does it stand for, Pat?
So it's our success equals knowledge, energy, and effort. After
go get him, Illinois.
If that's not inspiring, I don't know what it is.
Wow.
We'll take a break, come back and hear a little bit from Eric Rogers of the Calgary Stampeders next as the big show continues on this gorgeous Friday on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
NHL, CFL, NFL, MLB, NLL, WHL, and lots more letters. We cover them all. Sportsnet 960 The FAN. Talking sports in the afternoon. This is the big show on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
What's up, Pat?
That's my favorite one, I think. Welcome back. Big show continues. Stampeders back in action tomorrow. Kickoff, 5 o'clock. McMahon Stadium Stamps and Montreal Alouettes. A guy who's going to probably need to have himself a pretty big game. Eric Rogers at receiver. We know that the running game is going to be a work in progress with Torrey Harrison and Matt Walter and you know, the situation without John Cornish. But Eric Rogers, established and certainly very, very talented. And we'll see what type of game he has against the Owls on Saturday night. He spoke with our Josh Humphreys at walkthrough this morning.
Well, Eric, I guess to start a quick looking at this game coming up here against Montreal, a team that you guys did fall to in Montreal when you were there a few weeks ago. But I guess it's your thought process going into this one.
You know, just trying to get out and have a better performance than we previous had against them. They had a pretty good defense, a pretty good game plan the first game. So we kind of come out here and execute a new game plan and, you know, make the plays that we didn't make last game.
When you look at the offense of this team, a lot of people on the outside think it's kind of struggling, or maybe not even struggling, but just, you know, trouble finding points and stuff, which I think is probably natural around the CFL when teams know what this team accomplished last year. But just in your mindset, what you look at and what you see in this offense so far this season?
We're just inconsistent. We have those spurts where we're doing real well, and we have those spurts where we got a lot of two and outs. But, you know, across the league with the rule changes, you know, a lot of teams are playing more zone. So, you know, points are going to be down because of that, because they're scared to get play man and get beat. So with the new rules, a lot of teams playing zone and sitting back and making us work for those points. So it's kind of harder.
injuries obviously never help any team, especially you guys have been just plagued with them on the offense, the offensive line, and now John Cornish goes down. So what does it do when you see so many injuries happen in a team?
You just try to, you know, make more plays if you can, you know, just make the plays that you get when you get an opportunity to make those. And, you know, every team's going to have injuries. You can't hang your head on it. You can't make excuses. You just got to go out there and play and, you know, try to make plays to win the game. And the guys that we have in are very capable. And, you know, we've always been known for, you know, having guys step up and fill spots.
Yeah, when you, and those injuries, I guess, especially with John Cornish, what does it do? It kind of gives you a sense that you get other guys stepping in there for you guys. You have lots of guys that can step up, and it says a lot about this team that there's a lot of depth out of any position, really.
Yeah, losing Cornish for a couple of weeks is, you know, a big deal because a lot of teams focus on him, you know, to stop him first, you know. So, you know, maybe they'll maybe not focus on the run game as much, and maybe we'll get, you know, those running backs there are coming in and get some big plays and change of pace. You know, Torrey, they're pretty elusive. Torrey, Tim, and Matt Walter. So, you know, those guys are going to step in and do their job, and maybe they'll get a little more room now that teams are focusing and keying in on them.
And then what does it do for the receivers, though, when a guy like John Cornish goes down? Because maybe there might be a little more emphasis in the passing game, or does it kind of stay the same strategy for you guys?
It's hit or miss. It depends on what they want to take away, really. If they want to stack the box, then we can definitely, you know, take advantage of, you know, stacked box on the outside. But if they want to, you know, open running lanes up, we just got to make sure we go out there and block for our running back and get him some room to run.
And I guess just finally for you, I want to look at your season so far. It's been pretty successful so far. A lot of big catches, a lot of touchdowns. I guess you're overall happy with your performance so far?
Yeah, I'd be a lot more happier, you know, we win if you're, you know, 5-0, 4-1, you know. Coming off a loss, you're not as happy with, you know, performing well and not getting the win. So, you know, I'd rather, you know, have a couple catches and get a win than have a couple catches in a good game and a touchdown and lose. So, you know, I just try to make plays to help this team win, and I'm going to keep doing that, and hopefully we can get a lot more wins than losses.
Awesome. Thanks a lot for this.
I appreciate it.
Eric Rogers of the Calgary Stampeders. Stamps at home to Montreal tomorrow. Kickoff at 5 o'clock. It's funny. So you go from Eric Rogers and the Stampeders. We've got a special guest with us around the corner. Rodney Sassy is the head athletic therapist for the Montreal Alouettes, and some interesting things we're going to be talking about with him around the corner, including an area of your body that maybe you should pay a little bit more attention to. Well, Roddy's going to join us around the corner as we continue on this Friday edition of The Big Show. This is Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Covering Jays, Stamps, PGA, NFL, and more. If it's late in the summer, we talk about it. Proud to serve Calgary sports fans. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
The Big Show, brought to you by Comedy Cave. If it's comedy you crave, come to The Cave. Tickets are always $10. Comedy's so good, you'll whip out your funny bone. Go to comedycave.com.